Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Christ Central Presbyterian this morning. I'm Brian Tonis, one of the ruling elders, and it's my privilege to welcome you to the Lord's house this morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there is a connection card in the chair in front of you. And if you would be kind enough to fill out your information as far as contact, and then when the offering plate is passed later, if you put it in the plate, we would much appreciate that. Let me make a few announcements before we get started. First off, today we have a guest preacher, Mr. Mike Thornhill. He is a candidate for ministry in our presbytery. He's also getting ready to sit for the licensure exam tomorrow noon. So this is good practice today. So I serve on the candidates for ministry committee with the presbytery. It's my third year on it, so I've had a chance to hear Mike give his testimony a few times, and it's really exciting to hear what the Lord's done in his life, and so I'm really grateful that he's here to give the message this morning, and you'll get a chance to meet him as you leave this morning, so keep that in mind. Also, a few announcements for this week. The women's Bible study is going to begin on Tuesday on Esther and Ruth. You can let Donna Waugh know if you're interested in that. Also, the Waughs will have the fellowship at their home on the 9th of February. And the following week, on the 16th, that will be our next congregational prayer meeting. So you can pencil that in and make plans to be there if you can. So with that, if you have a cell phone or any other device that would cause distractions during our service, I would ask you to please silence that now so that we can focus our hearts on worshiping our triune God. I would ask you to stand now for the call to worship from Psalm 103, and it is responsive. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Please turn down your hymnals to number 92, A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
Father, indeed, you are our fortress and a very present help in trouble. And many of us have probably had great difficulties this week and come here today with wearied souls. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would quiet our hearts this morning and make your presence felt among us as we join our voices with the holy angels and the saints in heaven to lift up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May our prayers, our songs, and the words we say be glorifying to you, our triune God. And may our spirits be refreshed for having drawn near to you in worship. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian,
what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The first scripture lesson for this morning is from Exodus 33, verses 12 through 23. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We come now to a time of confession. I'll lead us off. We'll pray silently for our own sins, and then we'll confess together. Father, we are continually reminded that in spite of your Spirit dwelling within us, we are still sinners. And while we long for the day that our bodies are redeemed from our sin nature, we struggle now to kill the desires of the flesh and to seek you with our whole hearts. And so, Father, as you command us to make confession of our sins, we ask that you hear us now as we confess our sins to you silently. Father, through the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ, hear us now as we confess to you together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. We hear the assurance of pardon from Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 6. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. The second scripture lesson is from Psalm 46, 1 through 11. It will be the sermon text for this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me now in a time of prayer. Father, as we come before you today, we come in thanksgiving for all the blessings that you have poured out upon us. And yet, Father, there are so many needs that we bring before you, for you tell us to cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. And Father, we pray for your grace and mercies on the persecuted church worldwide, and wherever they be, Father, we pray that you would deliver them. And if that is not your will, then Father, we pray that you would help them to make the good confession, to persevere in whatever circumstance they find themselves. And Father, we pray for our world. We pray for peace, where there is war in so many places like Gaza and Ukraine, and other places like Sudan, Congo, and unrest in places like Haiti and Syria. And Father, we pray for the people who are in harm's way, who are displaced from their homes. We pray that you would bring an end to these conflicts and bring good governance to these places. And Father, we pray for our own nation as you command us to pray for all those in authority. We pray for President Trump. We pray for Congress and the courts. We pray for Governor DeSantis and our legislature and all our local officials. We pray, Father, that you would lead them to do what is pleasing in your sight, and that they would seek your will and govern in justice. We pray, Father, for those in California who have suffered from the wildfires, including some of our sister churches in the area. We pray that you would provide for their material needs, for their emotional needs, and that you would bring these fires to a conclusion so that no more people would have to face loss of property and even loss of life. And Father, in our local area, we pray for our presbytery, for the Southwest Florida Presbytery and the different church plants that are going on as we try to bring the gospel to our community. We pray, Father, for this particular church, for Christ Central. We pray that you would help us fulfill the vision that you've given to us. We pray for the various ministries in this church, that we would seek your face, that we would bring you glory in all that we do, and that we would bear fruit. We pray, Father, for the Spanish ministries, for Luis Prieva, as they're receiving new members this morning and celebrating communion. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing there and pray that you'll continue to bless that ministry, for ESL, for the various ways that we participate in supporting missions. We pray, Father, for all of our missionaries, for Dave and Leah, Dave and Paige Hawes, for Donna Leah Vanderplug, for Rodney and Jana Davila, for Aldo Mondin, SIATN. We pray, Father, that you'll sustain their health and their finances and bless the fruit of their ministries. We pray for those who struggle with illness in our church, for Kim and Gail Ryer with their recent illness, for Ed Sellers and his eye condition. We pray for Sheila Colbert, and especially for her daughter, Lenore, who's suffered a recent accident and recovering with many broken bones. We pray, Father, for healing and strength. And we pray for others like Marcia Craig and Catalina Betancourt, for Nick Betancourt, for Deb Underwood, for Becky Yu, for Judy Smith. We pray for their health and recovery. And we pray also for Emily Eckert and Amanda Nye for safe pregnancies for them, and that all would go well. And if we remember, Lord, those who were confined like Ron Quick, Pat Barden, and Aline Colley, we pray, Father, that you would sustain and strengthen them. And we bring all these petitions before you in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The third scripture lesson is from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 18. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We were afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that his grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand now for the offertory hymn, as the words are printed in the bulletin across the land. Father, we thank you for your continued provision for our church. We pray that we would heed the warnings in Scripture, not to cling too closely to the things of this world, but with generous hearts give liberally to those in need and to advancing your kingdom through this body and elsewhere. And Lord, we're reminded of the words of our Lord that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So Father, receive our tithes and offerings as our act of worship, that you may be praised and glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Please stand for the doxology. You may be seated.
Good morning. My name is Mike Thornhill. It's a joy to be with you all this morning to worship. If you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, please turn to Psalm 46. We'll be going through the whole chapter. Now hear the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning and worship you. And as we open your holy and most excellent word, we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might know you more. Open our minds to understand the scriptures and show us your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our kids love summertime, and we have four kids that are 5 years old and under. And they all love to play outside. But as you know, we all live in Florida here, and we all experience intense thunderstorms. So you have a typical day, about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, where the clouds become dark, the wind begins to blow, and then all of a sudden you hear off in the distance the rumble of the thunder. And when that happens, my kids all look at each other and they bolt inside. Daddy, I'm afraid. And they all come and they grab my leg and they hold on tight. And I tell them, don't be afraid. Daddy is with you. And I help them work through their fear so that they might find comfort. And when my kids run out of the storm and into my presence, they find comfort that helps them deal with their fear. And similarly, in Psalm 46, we learn that just like I comfort my kids and help them work through their fears, our Heavenly Father is always present to comfort and help His children work through their greatest fears and challenges in life. Therefore, God's people can be confident in His protection, His presence, and His power. Now, many commentators believe this psalm is a response to a specific event in Israel's history where God delivered His people from a powerful enemy. The story can be found in 2 Kings chapters 18 through 19. This was a time when Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was conquering nation after nation and destroying everything in his path. And Jerusalem, the city of God, was his next target. Now you can imagine the emotions and fear that these people experienced. In the darkness of the night, as they looked over the walls of Jerusalem, they saw 185,000 Assyrian soldiers just waiting to attack. Hezekiah, the king of Judah, is in fear for his life and the lives of his people. He's already dealing with making multiple bad decisions and ready to give up. Out of options, feeling hopeless, and thinking death was inevitable, Hezekiah calls on the Lord for help. The Lord hears his cry and answers through the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Do not be afraid. I will make him fall." He goes on to say, "For I will defend this city to save it for my name's sake." Now that very night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down all 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And when the people of Jerusalem arose the next morning, behold, the scriptures say they were all dead. Now God protected his people and gave them strength to endure this trial. Even the powerful king of Assyria was struck down with the sword. If this invasion on the city of God was not what the writer of Psalm 46 had in mind, it sure is a beautiful and very clear picture of God as the refuge and strength for his people. A very present help in trouble. Now the focus of this psalm is on the Lord and how his presence makes a difference in the lives of those who trust him. This psalm opens with a declaration that God is the protector and sustainer of his people. A place of safety and security. A place where our hearts and minds can find comfort when our lives are falling apart. Look with me now to verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. You see, God not only protects his people from evil in the world, but he also provides strength to endure the challenges that we face in this life. King Hezekiah and the people of Judah were facing real soldiers, but they were also battling real internal emotions. Not only was King Hezekiah afraid for his life, but I'm sure he struggled with the fear of failing, of letting his people down, of not being able to protect them, of not being able to keep them safe. A feeling of helplessness. We can relate to King Hezekiah, can't we? Friends, God was with Hezekiah in his fears. And he's with you in your fears too. Many of us struggle with the fear of failure. The good news is that we have already failed. That is what the gospel says. And the best news is that Christ has not. And he delights to use broken and repentant people who have failed in this life for his glory. Now, we are not facing 185,000 soldiers ready to attack, but we are facing a real enemy who's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy our lives, to destroy our marriages, to destroy our churches, to destroy our friendships, to destroy our faith. In times of trouble, Jewish leaders would often look to Egypt for help when they should have turned to the Lord. Similarly, in our day and age, we often look to the world and everything that it offers for help, when we should be turning to the Lord as well. Brothers and sisters, God is a very present help in trouble. Do you believe that? This word trouble here is very interesting. In the original language, it could be translated as pain, anguish, or pressure. Think of someone being backed into a corner with no escape. It literally means a wanting to cry. This was the situation King Hezekiah found himself in. Under pressure, literally backed into a corner with no escape, and not only wanting to cry, but he literally cried out to the Lord for help. I wonder if some of you have ever felt this way. I wonder if some of you are feeling this way right now as you sit in your chair. Maybe you're dealing with the pain from a broken relationship. Maybe you're just under pressure and not quite sure how to proceed and just want to cry. What do you do? What do you turn to? Who do you turn to? Sadly and often, we turn to worldly things for help, strength, and comfort in times of trouble instead of turning to the Comforter himself, the Holy Spirit. Many turn to drugs, alcohol, things of that nature to cope with life and deal with fears, to battle against life's challenges. Many turn to pornography, food, or even just a day on the golf course. Many think a new relationship, more money, or a new job will help them find peace. Friends, only Christ is sufficient to wholly satisfy. The other day we were driving home from the park, and my youngest son, Shiloh, was hysterically crying. He's so upset. We tried giving him a toy. We tried putting some music on for him. The other kids were trying to calm him down. Nothing was working. The minute we gave him his bottle, he calmed down and he just drank. He was hungry. The only thing that could satisfy him was his milk. Similarly, we try to deal with our fears and our emotions and the challenges of life with everything but the pure milk of the Word, which promises to strengthen us, nourish us, and satisfy our souls. It was only when Hezekiah was out of options that he turned to the Lord. But even when Hezekiah was faithless, God was faithful. The first words God told King Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah were, "Don't be afraid. I will defend this city." Verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 46 say, "Therefore we will not fear, even when the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam." Now, we don't know exactly what that means, for the earth to give way, or for the mountains to be moved into the heart of the sea. But many of us do know what it means for the unthinkable to happen in our lives. For circumstances to change in a moment. For life as you know it to change with one phone call or one diagnosis. We don't know what it means for the earth to give way, but we do know what it means to lose people we love. To watch our kids go astray. To be told you're no longer wanted or needed. To be hurt and rejected by others. To experience a life-altering illness that turns your whole world upside down. How do you respond when the unthinkable happens in your life? When it feels like everything you know is falling apart? The devil provides all types of opportunities for comfort. However, they are temporary and usually only lead to more despair and more brokenness. Often our troubles increase because we try to do things on our own strength and apart from the Lord. After trying to do things in his own strength, King Hezekiah turned to the Lord in prayer. And so should we. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9 say this: "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard or protect your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, just like my kids found refuge in the arms of their Father, we too can find refuge in the arms of our Heavenly Father. The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Our lives may change in a moment, but the covenant of our Lord lasts forever. Isaiah 54:12 says this: "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." This leads to our second point. God's people can be confident in his presence. Look with me now to verses 4 through 7. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah." Notice the stark contrast from verse 3 to verse 4. In verse 3, the waters roar and foam. But in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. A river of peace. A river of blessing. The psalmist's view here changes. In the first three verses, he describes life outside the walls of Jerusalem or outside the city of God. And in these three verses, he describes life inside the city of God, or inside the walls of Jerusalem. Outside, the waters rage. Inside, there's a river whose streams are gentle. The difference between the two descriptions is the presence of God. All throughout Scripture, a river has been a symbol of God's presence. All the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, the text reads, "The river flowed out of Eden to water the garden." Ezekiel 47:9 tells us, "Everything will live where the river goes." And in Revelation 22, John was shown the river of the water of life, which describes the wonderful, wonderful blessings of God's presence. It's been said that the river is a metaphor for the presence of God. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit who continuously pours out the love and grace of God on his church. And what's interesting is that Jerusalem, the city of God, did not have an actual river in the city. God was their river. God was their source of life. In Hebrews chapter 12, we learn of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24 tells us, "We, the church, have come to the new Jerusalem, the city of the living God, and by doing so, we have come to Jesus." This text describes the church as the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Verse 5 of our text says, "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns." God, Elohim, the Mighty One, is in the midst of her. Us, His people, His church, our God is with us. Right here, right now. And He is here to help us work through any and every issue that we face in this life. The text reads, God will help her when morning dawns. But it can be translated, God will help her, His church, every morning of every day. The idea is God is always present, always available, and always willing to help you. Second to the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress is the number one selling Christian book in the world. It's a wonderful book written by John Bunyan. If you haven't read it yet, I'd encourage you to pick up a copy. Pilgrim's Progress is an allegory for a person's spiritual journey. The main character's name is Christian, and Bunyan uses his physical or real life journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And it's used as an allegory for a person's spiritual journey from death to life. And there's a chapter in the book called Christian in Trouble. And in the chapter, the character Christian falls into what Bunyan calls the Slough of Despond. Now, the Slough of Despond is a thick, muddy swamp, a place where fears, doubts, depression, and sin just accumulate. And it goes on to say that Christian, because of his burden, began to sink. Christian struggles to get out with all his strength and with all his might, but he could not get out of the muck and mire because his burden was so heavy. Then a man steps on the scene whose name is Help. Christian tells Help that fear took over his mind, which caused him to veer off the path. Help says to Christian, "Give me your hand." Pulls him out. He sets his feet on a rock, on solid ground, and on the path to blessing, joy, and peace. Are any of you stuck in the Slough of Despond this morning? Are you stuck in an addiction? Are you struggling with depression or anxiety? Or maybe you're experiencing the weight of guilt and shame for something that you've done. Whatever has you stuck, Help is here. And His name is Jesus. And how does Jesus help us? In John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus says this, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." In verse 39, this was said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. In the city of God, there is a river, and out of that river flows gentle streams who make glad the city of God. And I believe those streams are the ordinary means of grace. Help comes and works through God's people, through the Word of God, through prayer and the sacraments in the context of the local church. This is how God promises to help and strengthen and bless His people. One pastor put it this way, "It is through the ordinary means of grace that the ascended Christ, by the Spirit, saves, sanctifies, and comforts His chosen ones." Think of those gentle streams as Christians filled with the Holy Spirit, using their gifts to love and serve one another in the local church. This is our calling, to love one another, to serve one another. The church is where we are supposed to practice the covenant, where we come to worship and meet with God as His people and community, where we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ together in unity, not thinking of our own interests only, but the interests of others also. The church is where we come to get nourished and strengthened by the means of grace, so that we might go out into the world and glorify God. Do you believe that? Verse 5 shows us the city of God cannot be moved and is therefore stable. In contrast, verse 6 tells us that the nations rage and the kingdoms totter, meaning they are unstable and can be destroyed. This is a picture of the church in the world. When everything in the world seems unstable, the church is unmovable. Why? Because of the presence of the Lord. It is not the city itself that is great and unmovable. It is God who is great and unmovable. It is the presence of the Lord that brings the peace, the stability, and the blessing. Sadly and often, we do things out of selfish ambition and according to our own agendas. We walk by the flesh and not the Spirit. And when we do this, we miss the opportunity of blessings, peace, and joy. We must walk by the Spirit and be dependent upon His leading and His power. This leads to our third point. God's people can be confident in His power. Look with me now to verses 8 through 11. The psalmist now takes us back outside the walls of Jerusalem, where he calls God's people to come. Behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. The Lord Himself defeated the Assyrians. He alone destroyed the 185,000 soldiers seeking to attack the city of God. This very well could be Hezekiah calling the people of Jerusalem to come and behold this amazing sight before their eyes. The one who defeated 185,000 Assyrian soldiers is with you. The Lord of hosts is with His people. Friends, this is just one of many mighty works of the Lord that we must remember. All throughout Scripture, God calls His people to remember who He is and what He has done on their behalf, to help them work through their fears and their challenges in this life. One commentator put it this way: every page of Scripture is an invitation to come and behold the works of the Lord. Time and time again, the Lord has revealed His sovereign rule over all. From Genesis to Revelation, we see the power of God on display. When God's people look back to the works He has done in history, it gives us confidence in what He's doing now and what He might do in the future. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, Jesus and His disciples are in a raging storm out on the Sea of Galilee. Massive waves are crashing on the boat. The wind is howling. And while the disciples are afraid for their lives, Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. And the disciples cry out to Jesus, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Do you see what happened here? The disciples have lost confidence in the Lord's protection, presence, and power. Then Jesus reminds them of His power by saying, "Peace, be still." And they witness the wind cease and experience a great calm. When they were reminded of His power, they experienced peace. The storms we experience in life are the same storms God uses to lead us closer to Himself, to build our trust and confidence in Him. Just as Jesus was in the boat with the disciples in total control of that storm, He is in you and in total control of all of your circumstances. Have you experienced the power of God in your life? Have you ever just sat and meditated on all that God has done for you? When you face the challenges of life, just stop and think of the challenges that Jesus faced for you. Let that be the motivation for all you do. Isaiah 67:10 says this, "I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love." As we leave this place today and go our separate ways, be still and know that God is God. Think not only of what God has done throughout history, but think about what he has done in your life personally. King Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem saw God destroy 185,000 Assyrian soldiers on their behalf. But they never saw the Word become flesh. They never saw the Son of God live a perfect and sinless life, then willingly go to the cross to die for the forgiveness of their sins. They did not see the power of God in the resurrection of Christ. They did not see him ascend to heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father in power and glory, interceding on their behalf. Church, we have seen the greatest act of deliverance in all of human history. Jesus Christ defeating sin, Satan, and death forever. We have seen the greatest act of power in all of human history in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are two groups of people in Psalm 46, and there are two groups of people in this world. Those who belong to Jesus and those who fight against him. Which group are you in? To experience the protection of God, you must belong to him through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you put your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Personally? If you have not, do not wait another minute. Like Hezekiah, cry out to the Lord to be saved so you can say, God is my refuge and strength. And experience the protection, the presence, and the power of God in Jesus Christ. And if you do belong to Jesus, rejoice. And like my kids found rest in their father's arms, may you find rest in the person and work of Jesus Christ all the days of your lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for Jesus, for sending your only Son for us, your people, for your gracious provision, love, and care for your people. Help us to take the truths of Scripture that we've learned today and apply them to our lives so we might know you more and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Out to number 699, Like a River Glorious. Please. I hope your hearts are refreshed this morning through that message, and I hope you have a blessed Lord's Day. Let us be dismissed with Paul's words to the church in Ephesus. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.